Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the ninth day of February, year 2022. I am Commander and Pastor Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is current events, open forum, and Revelation chapter 18. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri and Biff. Callers, of course, will be welcome during the program. We do ask that you be mindful of anybody else that's on the call. Keep your responses as short as possible. And also be careful of your language as we have a mixed audience. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody entering into the call is muted automatically until you indicate on phone with a star 6 and click on the ask question button on your computer, and we will answer those and bring you onto the call in the order that we receive them. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And we do remind you, we have the Daily Mail page there for latest stories and updates on health issues, COVID issues, and different things like that. And changes have been made to the homepage to help folks if wish to help us out financially. And for those folks out there that do, we appreciate it very, very much. There is another page on the website called Contact Us. If you don't have my personal email or phone number, you can use that to get a note to me to either ask a question, set up a conference, or anything such as that. And as Pastor Pete used to say, everything is going wrong just right. Pastor Pete Peters out there in Colorado with the Scriptures for America Church. An organization. Pastor Pete's on the other side now, but he was quite a character, and I used to enjoy listening to his messages quite often. So anyway, I'm going to go through a few of the things I've been catching up on with the reports. Every day it's practically the same. Many, many emails, phone calls, and videos, and news tips that are sent my way to find out what's going on, and then try to figure out what's the truth behind all the stories so that I can bring it to you. There's a lot of disinformation out there about the convoy, Freedom Convoy up in Canada. Some people are trying to say that they're going to try to bust it up, etc., but many of the more trusted sources are saying that's disinformation, that the truckers and the people that are supporting them are in such vast numbers that the authorities are not going to be able to do that. Not to mention, I just watched a video by Corporal Bulford of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, who resigned his job after 8 years of being one of the police officers whose duty is to protect the prime minister, even though he's a scumbag. Corporal Bulford has said that he can no longer with good conscience stay in the Royal Canadian Mounted Police because the police and other law enforcement individuals are being asked to do things that are outside the legal documents, very similar to our constitution in Canada, that is up in Canada. And so, again, the people are vastly in support of what the truckers are trying to do, not just here, but, I mean, in Canada, but also here in the United States are organizing to go against Washington, D.C., and in other countries they are getting together, and now the farmers and many other groups – middle class, good old blue collar type workers, have joined in and are supporting them in vast numbers. I saw a clip over in Europe somewhere, I can't remember now where it was, but it looked to be hundreds of these large tractors just lined up, clogging up this street. There were so many of them. And of course, the police are trying to dispel it, but they're not having a whole lot of success. And if more people like Corporal Bulford in Canada are willing to lay it on the line, so to speak, they're going to have to either back down or push it to the point where this thing goes red hot. One of the two outcomes is going to come out of this. So either way, it's up to us to continue putting pressure on the tyranny, because that's what the scripture says to do. Resist evil with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And that's in the Psalms and Proverbs, that we are to resist evil wherever we find it. Now, the modern-day church, where they're trying to tell us our job is to be basically pansies and lay down and get walked on, and somehow that makes us more godlike, I beg to differ, because Christ never allowed them to do that while he was in his ministry. In fact, at one point, he formed a whip and he beat the money changers out of the temple. All of his disciples carried swords for defense. So, yeah, he had something bad happen as far as his sacrifice on the cross. That was the end of his ministry, and that was by design. Okay? So all things are happening that way, but when he was leaving, he told them that I'm not going to be with you to kind of watch over you and protect you, so you're going to go get a sword, even if you have to sell some of your clothing to do it. So we are supposed to be armed at all times. We're not, and according to the Old Testament, trained in the ways of war and the weapons of war. That is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And the modern-day church world has been effectively shut down, which it should be, because they are liars and deceivers. The poison behind the pulpit is in large part responsible for the lack of action by particularly the white race in this world today. And so it's a good thing that they're being shut down, because there was no truth in them anyway. So hospitals are going broke, which they should go broke. Okay, as Arlene, who comes on and talks to us here on the program quite often, could probably tell you, that when she was a young lady going through nursing school, that the hospitals, the doctors, the nurses, etc., were quite different than what they are today. Of course, back then, the vast majority of them were Caucasian. I can even remember those days myself. My sister worked at Tampa General, and with a group of surgeons attached to Tampa General. She was an executive secretary, administrative secretary. She'd been there many years, and I know that the demographics of the people working at the hospital changed significantly in the 30-some years that they lived in Florida. Okay, when I first went to go visit her or spend time there at the hospital, going to the cafeteria, seeing the nurses and doctors and all, when she first went to work there, it was predominantly white. Now it's predominantly everything but white. And also, the quality of service takes a nosedive when it's a mixed multitude running the show, especially with Jewish managers at the corporate level for hospitals and staffing, etc., because it's all about the money. And as the Jews came to power in the medical mafia, that's when it changed over, because everything the Jews get involved in, it goes from anything ethical to simply a matter of money. It always does, whether you're talking county commissioners, the land developers, ag departments, the FDA, CDC, branches of government, finance, you name it. anything they get their grubby little hands on, it goes from being something of value for the people to all about the money. I saw it in the corporate world. I saw it in the power industry. I saw it in the Air Force, even. Because the military, especially today, because there is an Air Force base here locally, so I still run into a lot of active duty personnel. There are some Marines that are even attached to the military base. So you meet them down at the VFW or the American Legion, and you get to talk, and you find out a lot about what's going on. They're destroying the esprit de corps and the efficiency of our military. Anytime you divide something and you take away the moral underpinning of it, you weaken it. They've weakened our society the same way they're weakening our institutions and our military the exact same way, and also our police forces. There is a large awakening going on, so people are not only becoming very aware of these things that we're talking about, but they're actually, as we can see with the freedom convoys going on all over the world and the amount of support they're getting, people are now realizing, as scripture says, that if you're not willing to do something, there will be no change. He said, be ye doers and not hearers only of the word. Be ye doers and not hearers only. He also told us not to be lukewarm, without passion. He said, I'd rather you be ice cold. I'd rather you be a full-fledged communist. At least be passionate about it. At least do it because you think it's the right thing, even though you're completely ass backwards. At least you have passion. It's the lukewarm that he would vomit out of his mouth, along with the cowards. So it's not only the lukewarm, but it's also the cowards. And often people that are in one of those categories will be in the other category as well. If they're lukewarm, it's usually because they are cowards. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to have to learn anything. They want to have to get away from their TVs or their computers long enough to study any issues or to get involved in anything going on. That's the significance of this whole freedom convoy that's going on. It is the first time in my lifetime that I've seen the public support something to these vast numbers. And as I've told you, in 2009, in the fall of 2009, there was the Tea Party rallies, and TEAT was taxed enough already. It was basically a challenge to government to get out of our wallets, but it was also to show our disapproval of the recently elected Muslim communist known as Barack Hussein Obama, the misfit homosexual that was put in there by computers. We didn't elect him. He was put in there by computers, and they'd had us believe that we elected this piece of dog meat, and he went into Washington. Fortunately, he's a complete moron. He cannot even read a teleprompter properly, and so he himself is not a danger to anybody. He doesn't have enough talent or intellect to be a danger to anybody. He gets his marching orders from the likes of George Soros and the rest of the ultra uber rich cabal that pull the strings in this world that we live in, which is completely upside down. And because of their lust for power and money, we're printing electronic money now at such an astounding rate that there's no way it can be paid off. Ever. Can't be done. And so anytime you reach that point to where you've got this situation going on, you know it's going to burst, this bubble, this financial bubble, the debt bubble, this derivative bubble, whatever you want to call it. it's going to have to burst wide open, and that's why we've talked for so long about preparations. You have to be prepared, ladies and gentlemen. You have to have some cash put away or things that you can barter with. You got being down in some hole in the ground. We're not talking about that, but you got to be able to, if there's a disruption in the gas lines or the power lines go down, whether it's by man-made decisions or because of a storm that comes through, a blizzard, a hurricane, a tornado, whatever. We were never given the option to be lazy and unprepared. Never. We were supposed to be like Boy Scouts or like the Amish or even the Mormons. I will give them credit for that. They've got preparations down to a science. Their theology is completely off, but at least in the area of survival and preparations, they're much more prepared than most other people. I am still reading a lot about shortages, and I know that from my own personal experience and the experience of family and friends. It's happening quite frequently lately that there is a severe delay in any kind of appliance that's being bought, spare parts for automobiles, trucks, whatever. Now, there may be an end to that in the near future, but I'm just saying right now, that is a reality, especially if what you're wanting has to come in on a ship. If it has to come in on a ship to a port and then be taken from the port by truck, there's probably going to be a lengthy delay. If it's manufactured here and you only have to rely on internal trucking, you'll probably get it reasonably quickly. That you cannot take for granted, though, because of the unstable times we live in, but you should get it at least in a reasonable amount of time. The stuff coming in from overseas is what's really, really being delayed. Unless, of course, you're part of the elite class. They probably have a few backdoor ways that they can get what they need. But for those of us in the trenches, you better be prepared for a lengthy time to get what you need, which is forcing many of us to think about, you know, do we really need the things that we're claiming we do, right? Do we actually need them, or is it something we could repurpose or fix ourselves or whatever, like we used to do in the old days on the farm? Many times we would fix things ourselves. Or we would barter with a neighbor, or we would find somebody with a good welding machine or a bending machine or framing machine, and we'd make a lot of our own parts. But the biggest thing was that we could do without. There were a lot of things that you just didn't need, really. Because the truth of the matter is many of us have closets and basements and garages full of stuff that some of that stuff you haven't touched in 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Do you really need it if it can sit there for that long? So think about that. So not everything going on under this crisis is negative. The father is shutting down the attendance at public schools. Their attendance is way down. More and more people are looking into homeschooling. So that's a positive thing. Less people in churches being lied to and fed all that garbage by these poison prostitutes behind the pulpit. Well, that's a good thing. More people waking up to the criminality, lies, and deceptions of the media and the government and the CDC and all these other agencies and institutions. Okay, so that's a good thing. People are starting to get out of their houses and, talk to one another and do things together and share information, etc. More people are paying attention to what's going on. I know for years, many of the folks here on the call, we've known each other for many years, and we've been out there beating the bushes trying to wake people up, and they didn't care. They couldn't be bothered. Now, all of a sudden, they're realizing this is serious. all this talk about a new world order and a digital currency thing to entrap us and put 24-hour, 7 days a week surveillance on us, all that, that stuff is technically feasible for the first time in human history. It's technically feasible to do all the things that the warnings of the prophets told us about. So these are serious times. And that's one reason I wanted to go ahead and get into Revelation 18. It was also kind of interesting that BP Earthwatch was making references to how many things that are going on, especially with this activity in the solar system, within the firmament, of course, but what we call the solar system. And supposedly some of the satellites used by the cabal have basically fallen out of the sky. Kind of reminds me of stars falling out of the sky. Stars are just lights. So whether they're the little twinkling lights that the Father put in the firmament that you call a star, or is it the twinkling of light reflecting off a metal satellite that's falling to the earth? Something that shines, reflects light, is falling from the skies. That's starting to happen. Kind of interesting. Other people were talking again about Malachi chapter 4, and that when he talked about the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings, that also, according to BP Earthwatch, is on the verge of happening. So not everything is completely negative. It's like a lot of things that go on in the world, especially that our Father controls. It depends on what side of the fence you're on. If you're with the Messiah, if you're with Yahweh himself on the one side of the fence, well, these things are used to correct his children and to guide his children into doing what they're supposed to be doing anyway. But we're stubborn. That's why he called us sheep. We do act like a bunch of sheep. The vast majority of our people act just like a sheep in the field. Kind of docile, not really getting too involved, just kind of moseying through the pasture field, chewing on grass, not really paying much attention to the wolves and the bears out on the other side of the fence. That's what the shepherd's job was. Okay? He was there to not only guide the sheep from pasture to pasture, but he carried that staff for two reasons. One, the hooked end was used to get sheep when they fall down into a pit and pull them up out of it or off of a cliff. And the pointed straight end of it was to be as a club or a away from the sheep. So the analogy and how it applies to you and I is perfect. As all things with our Father are perfect. Because we do act like a bunch of sheep. So the fall of Babylon, I'm going to take it from the World English Bible here for tonight, and we're just going to talk a little bit about it, because it sure sounds like we are either in the middle of Revelation 18, or we soon will be. So portions of it we're seeing happening already. After these things, I saw another angelos. In English, we put angel here. It means messenger. Just means a messenger. Coming down out of the sky, having great authority. The earth was illuminated with his glory. Now remember, Revelation is highly symbolic and idiomatic. Like, the earth was illuminated with his glory. Anytime the word is talking about illumination, it's usually knowledge, truth. Okay, instead of supposition and just make-believe, like the news media and these different institutions, instead of being that way and superstitions, it's knowledge and truth, okay? It illuminates, just like when it says, a light unto my path. His word and his law is a light unto my path. It's because of the truth and logic within the word it makes your walk through this life on this earth much more easier, being armed with that, so you don't stumble and fall as you would in the middle of the night without that. You see what I'm saying? It's symbolic. So when this angel shows up, he has great authority, and the earth is illuminated with his, so obviously male, his glory. He cried with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." Now, the great here doesn't mean great in the sense that it's good. It means in the sense of its size, its influence, its power. Mega in the Greek language has all that. It has no connotation as to whether it's good or bad. It just means a large extent or influences a lot of things. So fallen, fallen is Babylon, which is a Greek word, and it represents the same thing as the ancient Hebrew word Babel, as in the Tower of Babel or Babel, which is confusion. Confusion. And in particular, it's confusion caused by admixture, meaning confusion that is caused by mixing things that don't belong together. For instance, man's law and God's law, they don't belong mixed together because man doesn't have the right to create new law. The Creator already gave us the law. Admixture could be the confusion that's caused when you mix races and the offspring has mixed DNA within them, which is causing emotional, mental, and physical problems. It becomes a plague. The Bible refers to race mixing as a plague because it brings a lot of health issues upon the miscegenated children, but also it's a plague of crime because miscegenated people tend to have emotional problems and tend to be violent, tend to be, well, criminals, if you want to call it that. It doesn't mean every single one of them. It says in Charles Weissman's book, Anthology of Racial Issues, it talks about the fact that these are tendencies. In other words, a much higher percentage of criminals, especially violent criminals, a much higher percentage of them are of mixed race. So, again, when we violate Yahweh's law, we always have problems. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she has become a habitation of demons, daimos, demons, a prison of every unclean spirit. Prison meaning what? You can't get out. Everything's trapped right here. These demons, unclean spirits, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Spirits and bird it uses. And doesn't it feel like that's what you're in? Trapped in this system, in this world system? How many people I talk to on a daily basis? Part of the reason sometimes, and I'm going to have to say this, that people when they talk to me, they say, "Dan, you sound like you're depressed or you're down." And I'm going to have to remind people, those same words were said of Messiah when he walked the earth. Do you remember reading that in Scripture? That he had a forlorn countenance about him. It's also been said of the prophets from time to time, especially Jeremiah. Okay? It's because when you have a calling to do the Father's will on this earth, you're answering the call of him. You're not like everybody else. And that doesn't mean that you're better than anybody else. It just means you march to the tune of a different drummer. And because of that, you're at earth. Because you're in a realm where you're in tune with and walking with the Holy Spirit. When the vast majority of people are not. And so you're an outlier. You are an anomaly to the average people walking the earth. Again, that has no connotation of good, bad, or whatever. It simply means you're different. So when there's times when people think that we are, like I said, either depressed or forlorn or whatever, it's because it's very frustrating. I know most of my adult life has been that way. Very frustrating to be the salmon swimming against the stream, to be the one who was called to bring a message to the children of the Most High when most of them want to hear it. It's frustrating as hell. I got to tell you that. Frustrating as hell, especially when you get into some of the major controversial topics that everybody loves to argue about. And everybody here knows what I'm talking about. We don't need to bring them up again. But you get into those areas, and it's amazing how much our people will argue with each other and even want to fight you. It does get old. I will have to admit that. It does get old. Verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Now, who's the her? Babylon. It's a system. Again, Babylon represents confusion caused by admixture. If you're in the legal world, let's say you're a lawyer or a paralegal or a judge, an attorney, a prosecutor, whatever, you're trapped in a system that's trying to operate outside of God's law, because the Jews have inculcated into our moral code and laws the teachings of the Talmud. And the teachings of the Talmud are in complete contradiction to the teachings of our Heavenly Father. So it's admixture. You're mixing two things that don't belong together, the righteous and the unrighteous, the clean and the unclean. You're trying to mix light and darkness. You see what I'm saying? That's going to cause more consternation, problems, depression, fights and arguments, mental illness, you name it, all comes when you're doing that. So he says, come out of her, my people, that you have no participation in her, Babylon's, sins. And we all know that sin is the violation of God's law, which modern society pretty much is in complete contradiction. Case in point, we'll talk about marriage and the male-female relationships today. It's not working. Why is it not working? Because it stands in contradiction to everything that the Father taught through the prophets. It's contradiction. Now, I hear from some people, well, I'm happily married, and I've been married for 30, 40, 50 years, whatever. And, you know, okay. So you're the exception. That's great. I honor you. I'm somewhat jealous. Okay. But that doesn't mean that that's not the rule, or that we're not in violation of the Father's law, simply because there's a few exceptions running around out there, okay? We could go into this whole topic for an hour and a half, but the point of it is that we have no participation in Babylon's sin, meaning Babylon's total disregard of God's law, and that you do not receive her plagues, for her sins have reached to the sky, which, again, that's an idiomatic expression, meaning it's piled high and deep, and Yahweh God has remembered her iniquities. Wow. So our Father has seen the iniquities of this beast Babylonian system and everybody that participates in this system. Now, another case in point, and I'm just explaining to you what I have seen, okay? You do with it as you see fit. I'm laying the information on the table. What you do with it is your business, not mine. But I do a lot of counseling and talking to people day in, single day. I consider that my job. My job is from the time I get up in the morning to my head hits the pillow at night. It does not stop, because the needs of the people, Jacob, Israel, don't stop and are not on a clock. And I feel it's my job that when they have a need, I got to be there to do my part to try to assuage the problem. Okay. The point of it is, I hear about what's going on in the lives of the men and women of our race. And right now, the men are starting to learn how to be lions again. Now, the downside of that is relationships are taking it on the chin, so to speak, because of the teachings of the Talmud that is been inculcated in our society. Relationships are at the precipice almost all the time, because we're trying to live a fantasy that was created by Hollywood, when we have ignored what the scriptures tell us, we've ignored what the history that we do know is true of how our people operate and how they did things in the past, and how our Heavenly Father wants them done. We're trying to live according to the standards created by the enemies of our people and the enemies of Yahweh himself. It doesn't work. That's why there's so much angst and anger and fighting and divorce and breakups, etc., etc., etc. It doesn't work that way. Now, I'm not going to try to go into the details of how it should be. I'm just letting you know that in most cases, again, not all, but in most cases, people are trying to live in a relationship based on the rules created by our enemies and not his rules. So count it a blessing if you are in a good one and it's operating according to his law and everything is cooking as it should, then say a blessing. And give thanks to the Father, because you're in a rare, smaller group, and it's getting smaller all the time. Return to her just as she returned. And again, verse 6 here, we're talking about Babylon. Return to her just as she returned, and repay her double as she did, and according to her works. Whoa, what is that talking about? Babylon is to be repaid double. In other words, all of the misdeeds that have been done by these Zionist-controlled bad actors is to be recorded, and then when judgment is put upon them, pay them back double. So all of the bad actors and the children of iniquity out here doing the bidding of these Jews, they've got some big-time trouble heading their way. In the cup which she mixed to her double. So again, a second reference to the fact that the judgments written against this Babylonian system will come back on their heads only double. However much she glorified herself, look at these pompous asses in government and organized religion, organized corporations, organized media. They are pompous asses. However much she glorified herself and grew wanton, so much give her of torment and mourning. Again, as Psalm 149 says, bring judgment upon the wicked. That's the honor of his saints. That's what's happening with these convoys. These saintly people, by the tens of thousands, are defying the beast government. Tens of thousands of vehicles, tractors, tractor trailers, and tens of thousands of people, and almost no acts of violence, no buildings destroyed, no property destroyed. other than what bad actors were doing in staged events by this same cabal. The actual people meeting out there are very much like the people that came to Washington, D.C. in the year 2009 when I was there with my family, and there were 2 million people in Washington, D.C. that day. And yet, there wasn't a piece of litter anywhere on the ground around us. So we know what our people are like. There was no arguing in the long lines because there wasn't near enough porta potties for people to go to the bathroom. So people had to wait in very long lines. And yet everybody was civil. Many times, some of my family had to go use them and said that the people would get into conversations and shake hands, get into finding about each other, where they came from, etc. In other words, it was almost like a family gathering. No fights, no arguing, no acts of violence, no trash out of place, no pushing and shoving and being rude. And when we left there, all the trash was in the containers, and the containers were overflowing, and the trash that could not go in the containers was piled up neatly around the containers. But out in the roadways, sidewalks, and park areas, it was as clean as when we all got there. 2 million people, almost all white, almost all middle class. That's what our people are capable of. So we are to give her torment and mourning, which that's coming. For she says in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and will in no way see mourning. In other words, she says, Babylon, these Antichrist bad actors, these Zionist communist Jews, I'm not going to be widowed. I am a queen, and I will not see mourning. In other words, I will not have to mourn anything. That's their haughty attitude. How are you going to bring down us fabulously rich, monstrous Jews who control governments, media, banking? Oh, how are you going to pull me down off my throne? Verse 8, therefore in one day, now that's a mistranslation, that should actually say, therefore in a short period of time, her plagues will come. Death, mourning, and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. Does that sound like Obadiah verse 18 maybe? For the Lord God Yahweh, who has judged her, is strong through his children. Just like this convoy is showing. When our children, our kinfolk, listen to what the Father has to say and get off their ass, and start acting like family, guess what? They get some things done. And there are a lot of good things starting to happen, folks. So you stay strong. You don't listen to these disinformation morons, these intelligence agents and Mossad people that get on the and act like they're part of the alt-right or they're part of the convoy or they're part of this, part of that. They're all bad actors. All bad actors, okay? I keep getting some messages here, so you're going to have to... Ella says here, Trudeau is a queen. Sorry, couldn't resist. Well, that's true. He is a flamer. But all of these people in government today are aberrant in their behavior, whether it's being homosexual, pedophile, carnivores or cannibals or you name it. I mean, it's unbelievable what these people have done and continue to do. The kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived wantonly with her. Now, isn't it odd that how much information is coming up about the sexual proclivities of these monsters? They have no conscience in them whatsoever. So the kings of the earth, okay, who are the kings? Well, that's your government, man-made governments, right? very, there aren't too many actual kings anymore. So the kings of the earth are talking about those who are in authority, basically the rulers or governors in the various government, man-made governments. And they've committed immorality and lived wantonly with this mystery Babylon. And they will weep and wail over her when they look at the smoke of her burning. Again, referring to the prophets who said that at some point these Zionist antichrists will be burnt, which is a biblical way of saying judged for their criminality. It's coming. Verse 10, standing far away for the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city, or the large city, the influential city, Babylon, the strong city, for your judgment has come in a short period of time. Hallelujah. Again, allegories to world events that we're seeing taking place around us right now. The merchants of the earth. It doesn't say everybody living on the earth. It says the merchants, the people who are in bed with this international banking corporatocracy that is trying to enslave mankind. The merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Could the mounting of the shipping containers at the ports and the slowdown from the truckers be a movement of Yahweh to see that Babylon's merchandise coming from India and China and Sri Lanka and Mexico and all over the place where they enslave people to produce goods for next to nothing so the Jew middleman can make a fortune selling this cheap junk in our stores? The merchants are weeping and wailing because nobody's going to buy their junk anymore. Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, all expensive wood, every vessel of ivory, every vessel made of most precious wood, and of brass and iron and marble. What are all these things that they're describing in verse 12? Things that are typically produced in factories owned by the cabal. In other words, you and I, ladies and gentlemen, we can live off the land. Sisters did for very long periods of time, all through the ages. When we have to, we know how to live off the land. We don't need a factory to produce what we need. In fact, the stuff coming out of factories is often inferior and full of contaminants and poisons, much like some of the medical reports that I've read about what the off-gassing of the insulation in your walls and the wallboard and the carpets and the ceiling materials. They're off-gassing things that are harmful to your health, but they look pretty. And they're cheaper than if you went out in the woods and gathered up wood and sawed it yourself and used. Oh, that's old-fashioned, Dan. Yeah, but it was natural. You were tied to the earth. You were grounded to the earth. Now you're insulated with all this man-made artificial material that you live in every day of your life. You're insulated from Mother Earth. So all of this merchandise they're describing comes from their factories. And cinnamon, incense, perfume, frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, sheep, horses, chariots, and people's bodies and souls. Whoa, people's bodies and souls. Haven't you heard from the World Economic Forum and pieces of shit of these Zionist pigs talking about the fact, oh, there's too many people here. So we need to get rid of it and get it down to a number we can manage. In other words, it's like a rancher out there saying, well, we got too many cows in the pasture field and they're becoming unmanageable. So we're going to have to slaughter about half of them. So it's much more manageable for us because, after all, we're lazy Jews and we're having a hard time getting. The number of people that we can control is, you know, it's getting smaller because we've lost control of the narrative. And these people are starting to find out how we work, what we've been up to, what our goals are. They're becoming unmanageable. I'm sure Justin Trudeau, that piece of thinking in his little closet as he's crying to sleep every night, afraid for his life, that, whoa, these people are not listening to me. These sheep are actually starting. You see what I'm saying? The fruits which your soul lusted after have been lost to you, talking to the Babylonians, and all things that were dainty and sumptuous have perished from you, and you will find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, manufacturers, corporatocracy, international financiers, who were made rich by her, again, who's getting in trouble here? The merchants and the kings, will stand far away for the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning. Again, do the things that are happening affect Yahweh's people? Only from the sense that we're witnessing it, and there could be some inconveniences, like I said, slow down in supplies, and you might not be able to get all the delicacies that you wanted, etc. But in the end, do you really need them? Whereas these other people, they're going crazy. There's a lot of mental illness right now, stress, suicide, people on antidepressants, and oh, it's unbelievable. Okay, unbelievable. Verse 16, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city! She who was dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and priceless stones and pearls." Does that sound like your typical Jew? "For in an hour, or a short period of time, such great riches are..." Oh, what is John trying to tell us here? Is there a financial reset outside of the one Klaus Schwab and the rest of his perverted, degenerate morons want? Is Father getting ready to bring about a different kind of reset, where these merchants and all the ones that do their bidding, they're the ones who are going to be found with empty bank accounts? "Every shipmaster and everyone who sails anywhere, and mariners, and as many as gained their living by the sea, stood far away and cried out as they looked at the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like the great city?' They cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and mourning, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city, in which all who had their ships in the sea were made rich by reason of her great wealth. For she is made desolate in 1 hour." Again, short period of time. Verse 20, "Rejoice over her, O heaven, you saints," ecclesia, the called out ones, those called according to his purpose, "you saints, apostles, and prophets." So we have apostles and prophets today, don't we? I lost my place here. "Rejoice over her, O heaven, you saints, apostles, and prophets." Oh, "for Yahweh God has judged your judgment on her." That's why the saints are rejoicing. It's the written judgment as Obadiah calls it, and Psalm 149, the judgments written are now brought on the evil, the bad apples, the bad actors. Verse 21, a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence. Oh, wait a minute. I thought we're not allowed to be violent. Thus with violence will Babylon, the large, great, influential city, be thrown down and will be found no more at all. The voice of the harpist, minstrels, flute players, and trumpet. You. In other words, no more large orchestras on your TV sets, no more halftime shows and Super Bowl shows, no more that are all part of this hellish system. No craftsmen of whatever craft will be found anymore at all in you. The sound of a mill will be heard no more at all in you, meaning Mystery Babylon. The light of a lamp will shine no more at all in you. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride will be found no more at all in you. For your merchants were the princes of the earth. In other words, the corporations, the financial sector, are in bed with your government people. They're one in the same, operating in collusion with each other. That's why even though there is nothing to enforce, as in Florida here, the mandates were gone. The government mandates have been gone for a long time. However, many stores force the employees to do it because, again, the merchants and the princes are in bed together. The companies, the corporations, take their orders from the people higher up in the corporation. They don't care about law. They don't care about constitutions and legal protections for the people. For with your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. Sorcery here could be word magic, which is exactly what the media and all the talking heads like Fauci and Burks and all the rest on TV do, the word magic. Let me give you a good case in point. Well, we had a large increase in cases of COVID. What the hell does that mean? Well, it sounds serious. However, it doesn't, because they tamper with the definitions. Remember, they changed the definition of pandemic so that they could call something that's basically the seasonal flu a pandemic. Do you see what I mean? Oh, the amount of cases has gone up because of a false test. The number of people dying with COVID. With it. That doesn't mean from it. Well, that doesn't matter. We're going to count it even if they have it and they died from a broken arm or their head hit a rock or a car ran over them. They had it, so it's with it. And we're going to go ahead and label it that. And we're going to give a great big fat check to the doctors and the medical examiners and the hospitals to go along with this sorcery and word magic. You see how it goes? But those with eyes to see and ears to hear never fell for it. Our people saw right through this from day one. You're looking at the personification of evil when you look at a Fauci and the rest of his crowd. If you have the Holy Spirit working within you, it should have been screaming, this guy is a complete fraud. Unfortunately, COVID fake and phony as it is telling us how many people are deceived. How few people have faith, courage, discernment. Very few. And even the ones that could see through it, how many of them had the courage to stand against the beast? How many of them had the faith to stand against the beast? Sadly, not a whole lot. But it does say that he will pour his spirit upon all flesh. And the Ezekiel 37 army will come up out of this valley of dead and dry bones, spiritually dead and dry people. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. Wow. Babylon's responsible for a lot, isn't it? This is interesting because it can be proven that wars, virtually all wars and acts of terrorism, are done by governments. There are no actual terrorists. They're not. Every single organization labeled as a terrorist organization that we have to give up our rights to protect us from, every single one of them is funded and controlled by a government. Many of them by Israelis, or the Israelis are giving them coaching on how to do this because they are the world's leading terrorists, murderers, blackmailers, assassins. And so now we send our police to get trained in Israel so that they can be just like the Israelis. We send soldiers to them, or they come to our nations and teach law enforcement and military how to be terrorists and murderers like they are. The world is starting to wake up. Each individual has to figure out what part they play in this end time scenario. Because that's where we're at. The end of the age. All right? We are in Malachi chapter 4. We are in Obadiah. We are in Ezekiel. And Revelation and Daniel. You're in it. You're in it. You're witnessing it. You have a ringside seat for the end of the age, and you're seeing it come about right now. And again, good or bad outcomes from what's going on all depends upon you and your standing with the people. A lot of people seem to have a hard time figuring that out, but it's really that simple. In the ways of the world, many people are being persecuted and or put out and all these other things. They lost a job, or that, just like that Royal Canadian Mounted Policeman that resigned. And there's been many others said, no more, I'm not going to take part in this. One of the guys that used to come on a show with us here, Michael, he in corporate America, because his conscience said no more. Ralph says here, Ezekiel 38 and 39 also, amen. Exactly. So many people I know have made sacrifices to obey our Father because somebody claiming the right to put a poison in your body or your children's body is your mortal enemy. Anybody trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. And you need to wake up to the fact that this is a war. And all the chips have been pushed to the middle of the table. All the people at the card table are all in as the poker players call it. They're all in. They've put all their chips in on this one right here. That's why the Antichrist's anger is so great. Because they know if they don't win this, if they don't enslave us, if they don't get us completely trapped, their days are over. Because when our men rise up, when the lions learn how to be lions again, there won't be any place for them to hide. And there will be no mercy for those who perpetrated these murders, rapes, pedophilia, transhumanism, organ harvesting crimes against mankind. There will be nowhere to hide, and there will be no mercy to be exterminated. And they know that. So we have to wake up to the fact that this is an all-out war for the end of the age. Either Satan's kids get to bring us hell on earth with their victory, or we destroy them and bring about our Father's kingdom upon this earth. That's the only two avenues that are available. And so every person walking in shoe leather today has a very big choice to make, and that includes police officers, military, sheriff's department, medical professionals, media, hospital workers, teachers, professors, government officials. Nobody escapes what we're coming into right now. Nobody. No fence to sit on. It has disappeared. We talked about that for the last 22 years. That great big wide fence that so many people have been sitting on for so long now has disappeared completely. No fence to sit on. You have to choose a side. As the one movie scene goes, I hope you choose wisely. I hope you choose wisely. Okay, let me look at the chat here for just a minute, see if I got anything up here. I don't see anything. All right, very good. So I'm going to give you a break today as I'm still trying to get caught up and somewhat a little bit weary and tired of late. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We just pray that your words will reach the ears of those that are meant to hear it. We thank you for those that are rising up and deciding to be doers and not just sitting on their butts in pews or in their homes playing games on computers, that this is a real world and you have to take part in it. You gave us life, Father, the greatest gift that could be given to anybody. You gave us life. And what we do with it is our gift back to you. I pray people would finally realize that simple equation, that simple fact of life, and try to use their life in a meaningful way, knowing that we will all stand before you one day. We ask your forgiveness for our shortcomings and stumblings. Wash us anew in the blood of the Lamb, that we might be new creatures, new creations, strong men and women of faith, with good discernment and empathy for mankind, especially those being put upon by this beast system. We pray for the destruction of this system soon and for you to sit upon the throne as the only worthy king that we've ever had. Again, forgive us our sins, walk with us always, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.